Yes, friends, it's time for Let's Talk Mental Health. This local program discusses behavioral issues of concern to the North Shore community and resources to help. Let's Talk Mental Health is produced at the studios of KTWHLP in Two Harbors, Minnesota. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the September broadcast of Let's Talk Mental Health. I'm your host, Chris Belfield. And in the month of September, with the national elections only about a month and a half away, and that's pretty prevalent on a lot of people's minds, I want to do something kind of in that presidential vein. Usually every February, the president comes before the nation and gives a State of the Union address. What I like to do with this broadcast is give a State of Mental Health address, our discussion. Specifically, we'll be talking about the North Shore Mental Health State at this time. And this month's guest speaker is Dr. Kimberly Overly, and she is with HP Psychological Associates, and that is in Duluth, Minnesota. Dr. Overly is a licensed psychologist who provides individual and group psychotherapy and psychological and neuropsychological evaluations. She holds a PhD in clinical psychology and has specialized training in the area of neuropsychology, trauma, personality disorders, and dialectical behavioral therapy, known as DBT. Therapeutically, she typically works with adult clients on issues of trauma, abuse, depression, anxiety, and general life concerns. As a cancer survivor herself, she has a strong interest in helping individuals and family members psychologically and emotionally navigate this often overwhelming and difficult chapter in their lives. Outside the office, she enjoys running, learning, reading, and spending time with family. She loves being outdoors, whether it's gardening, sitting in the sun reading a book, or taking her dogs for a walk. She also adds on the website that if you have any questions about therapy or how the therapy session works, she'd be more than happy to arrange a phone call with you ahead of time to learn more about your needs and answer any questions you may have. Dr. Overly, good day, and how are you, ma'am?
Thank you. I'm well. And how about yourself?
Doing very well. It is a beautiful day here on the North Shore. We're still coming up on the last week of summer, but after last night, I think fall is coming a bit early.
I'm starting to see some of the color changes in Duluth as well.
Well, excellent. Is there anything you'd like to add to the background that I told our listeners about?
No, I don't think so. I think that captured it very well.
Well, thank you for that. One question I did come up with, pardon me, is how long have you been in practice?
So there's a little bit of background there. I have actually been a licensed provider since 2007, but not as a licensed psychologist. I obtained my master's degree in 1996 in community counseling and became licensed in both Minnesota and Wisconsin. In 2010, went back to school to get my PhD, completed that in 2017, and was licensed last year as a licensed psychologist.
Thank you very much for that background. We are very happy to have you here on the North Shore, providing services for our listeners and also for those in the local community. Well, let's go ahead and jump right into this. Can you give us a little bit of an overview of HP Psychological Associates?
Yeah, absolutely. So HP Psychological Associates was actually founded by myself in 2017, and I had a desire to work with clients within a small and intimate private practice and have it feel very welcoming and safe. So we're now a group of, we started as four, and are now a group of seven mental health therapists and licensed psychologists with backgrounds in clinical counseling, psychological assessment, and marriage and family therapy. And in the work that we do, we seek to enhance the psychological health and wellness of individuals and families in the community through focusing on mental health as a critical part of overall wellness, and recognizing an individual's strengths as central to their ability to overcome and manage a wide range of mental health concerns. We also acknowledge and aim to treat the whole person, including spiritual and or religious components. And we conduct mental health treatment using evidence-based practices and acceptance of an individual's unique and personal life stories their perspectives, their expectations, and most importantly, their goals.
Thank you. I believe you pretty well covered my next question, where I was going to ask about an overview of mental health conditions treated, but I think you probably covered just about everything. Is there anything that you'd like to add about specific mental health conditions?
I think you had mentioned it in the introduction as well, that we do provide dialectical behavior therapy, or DBT, services, and we are certified as an intensive DBT provider by the Minnesota Department of Human Services. We also offer psychological assessments, both diagnostic for diagnostic clarity, to offer recommendations, as well as forensic-related and neuropsychological evaluations.
Dr. Overly, as a professional clinician, can you go into detail and discuss the areas that you explore with your clients regarding mental health?
Of course. So I think one of the first areas I try to explore, and probably the most important, because we do come back to this regularly, is the area of our daily and physical self-care practices and how that impacts our mental well-being within the context of mental health symptom management. And this also helps us rule out if current conditions are instead medically based. To effectively treat diagnosed mental health conditions, I take the approach that I need to have an understanding of the whole person and the connections between their physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual components. And just like any other organ in our body, our brain is an organ, and our organ systems don't operate independently of one another. So it makes sense to me that we don't try to isolate the brain and treat it as a system that's separate from the rest of the body. So coming from that perspective, I talk about four basic factors, or four really basic physiological needs, that are physical health, eating and nutrition, sleep and exercise, that affect the overall well-being of our physical body and in turn impact our mood and our energy level, as well as our overall ability to cope with daily stressors, effectively regulate our emotions, and manage any existing symptoms of mental health. And interestingly, these same factors also affect the robustness of our immune system and our susceptibility to illness and disease. And paying attention to these physiological needs is not relevant only for those with mental health conditions. Many of us see and have probably even experienced the effects of even one of these areas being out of balance or unmet. For example, feeling irritable or having reduced coping if we're overtired. I'm sure many people have seen the end of the day meltdowns with young children, where they're so overtired they have a very difficult time managing even their trying to go to sleep. Some people become impatient or irritable if they're hungry, if they've missed a meal. And we might also have problems remembering things when we're overtired or if we're not feeling well. So there's a direct connection, interaction, interplay between our brain and our what we have historically considered our physical body. Especially now with COVID, this presents additional challenges with the uncertainties, and we're seeing much more anxiety. For some people, they have reduced access to things that they've previously utilized to cope. It just becomes very relevant in everyday life, as well as when we're talking with clients on how to best manage mental health symptoms and perhaps prevent or reduce the risk of these symptoms returning. If we could, I'd like to talk about those four basic physiological needs and discuss them in turn. I think of them on a continuum, with one end being too little and the other end being too much. The goal then is to move away from those extremes into a more balanced place. So basically, we want to take care of our physical self by meeting our basic physiological needs in order to create an optimal environment for our brain, which then results in more effective coping, stress management, regulations of our emotion, and of course, management of our mental health. And I think of it as bringing it back to the basics, that our brain is not able to do its best until our physiological needs are adequately attended to. But this is not as easy as it sounds, because sometimes our mental health provides the very symptoms that interfere with our ability and willingness to do the things that could actually increase or help us recover from mental health conditions. So it becomes kind of tricky.
You had said you'd like to go more into detail on the four areas. We're RAP listeners and would like to hear more about, particularly when you were talking about too little, too much, and if you can tell us what those both look like and how to stay the course and be in the middle.
Absolutely. So let's take a look at our physical body first. We're talking about physiological needs, and we can narrow that down even more to our physical body. If we were to think about what would be too little care of our physical body, it might be something like decreased self-care, decreased attention to hygiene. We might not be as attentive to keeping our living environment as clean as we would otherwise. We might not take prescribed medications as they're ordered, or we might take them sporadically. We might avoid seeking medical services if they're needed. For example, if somebody is sick, should maybe go see a doctor, they might say, I don't have time for that, or I don't want to go to the clinic or the hospital now because of COVID, and neglect their physical health in that way. We can also be on that too little side of things by not managing our stress, kind of ignoring that stress, and then it builds up and that becomes unhealthy. Or when we talk about weight, we might maintain a weight that is below a healthy weight for our height. And of course, each person is going to differ a little bit on how this plays out. So these are generalizations. Kind of moving over to the too much side of our physical body, caring for our physical body, we might overattend to hygiene. And this is when we would see maybe some obsessive compulsive tendencies, excessive showering, excessive hand washing, some other hygiene acts that might be done in a manner that is no longer healthy. Similarly, we might see overattention to environmental cleanliness. Again, OCD tendencies with specific aspects of cleanliness within the home, vacuuming for extended periods of time, making sure that dishes are washed for extended periods of time, things like that. We might see more medication being taken than is prescribed or than is healthy, exceeding daily limits for Tylenol or ibuprofen, kind of the if some is good, more is better approach, which can be detrimental, of course, to the health. We might also see overuse of medical services, perhaps above a healthy body weight. Taking a look at how to find some balance on that scale, we have some things that we can consider. And I think it's important to give maybe a little bit of background information about why that's important. Clearly, the things that I just talked about can be potentially detrimental to one's health. There are some other connections that go deeper. For example, there are some medical conditions that can present as mental health conditions, and some mental health symptoms can actually manifest physically. Chronic pain, for example, depletes serotonin, and lower levels of serotonin are associated with depression and anxiety. Similarly, depression and anxiety sometimes are physically felt in the body. Children, for example, will, if they have anxiety about going to school, they might have stomach aches before school, or if they have anxiety about going to a particular activity or a particular to visit a particular person. They might have an upset stomach or feel like they're going to vomit or have headaches. Our physical body can really clue us into what's going on both physically and mentally. Physical activity and movement also stimulates the release of serotonin. So if there are physical reasons for limited mobility, such as illness or perhaps recovering from surgery, those people may also be at increased risk for depression. And that's something I talk with my clients about. If there are some surgeries that are scheduled, we do try to pre-plan ways that they are still going to get movement in within their medical restrictions to help them reduce the risk that they might have a depressive episode while they're recovering from surgery. And although movement seems like such a small thing, it can make a huge difference because of the reasons I just talked about with the release of serotonin and how that is important with depression and anxiety. And serotonin is also involved in the regulation of movement. So you can see here the dilemma that some people face. If they're already depressed, they may not move around as much physically. And then not moving around physically can also contribute to increased depression. It can be a difficult balance to find. And speaking of balance, the goal, like I said earlier, is to stay away from those two extremes. So working the best we can to have adequate nutritional intake, adequate caloric intake, not going too long between meals, being able to utilize our medical services as needed, take prescribed medications as they're ordered, stay up to date on our preventative health screenings, and find ways to really manage the stress that we're feeling. Our medical providers are great resources when it comes to healthy body weight and can also make referrals to nutritionists or dietitians if we have concerns about how to meet our caloric intakes and what sort of foods we should be eating and what food groups. That's a little bit on the physical, how we care for ourselves on the physical health department. Touching briefly on our eating habits, our balanced diet and adequate hydration. Of course, too little might look like we're restricting our caloric intake, that we're limiting the types of food that we're eating, and we might not have balanced nutrition, and we might also not be getting adequate hydration, so reduced water intake. Taking a look at the too much side of diet or food or nutrition, consuming more calories than needed, or consuming those calories from the majority of one food group or one type of food, or eating exclusively fast food, for example. Another big one, and I know this is a widely used and favorite beverage, but caffeine. Sometimes over-caffeination can really present some problems. And although it differs between people, caffeine intoxication is typically identified as at least 250 milligrams of caffeine in a short period of time, followed by some other symptoms such as nervousness, restlessness, increased heart rate, insomnia, muscle twitches, things like that. And to give an idea of what that might look like, the average cup of coffee has about 95 milligrams of caffeine. And I just wanted to touch briefly on too much water. There is something called water intoxication, also known as water poisoning, that is a potentially fatal disturbance in brain functions that is due to all the electrolytes being flushed out of our system with a lot of water consumption. There are some people that are very prone to drinking a lot of water, particularly if prescribed meds that increase thirst or dry out their mouth. And interesting, there is such a thing about drinking too much water. Just briefly touching on sleep, too little, of course, too few of hours. We might have some broken up sleep or the reduced quality of our sleep and too much. Adults typically need between 7 and 9 hours a night. If we're sleeping more than that or napping during the day regularly, that could actually be too much sleep. And regular and balanced sleep is important for a number of reasons. In both REM and non-REM sleep, this is where our body repairs itself, where we consolidate memories, where we release hormones and have our energy replenished. If we're not getting adequate sleep or if that's being disturbed, we're going to interrupt those cycles, and our physical body on a neurological and muscular and structural, is going to suffer. If we take a look at movement, again, very important. Exercise is important, and not everybody wants to or can exercise. In that case, physical movement is important. Too little, of course, would be none or infrequent. Too much, an excessive amount of time spent exercising. The recommendations are approximately 150 minutes per week of aerobic, moderate aerobic exercise, which translates into about 30 minutes 5 times a week, around in there. Exercise is probably an underutilized natural antidepressant. It increases our heart rate, brings more oxygen to the brain, releases hormones that facilitate new brain connections, and reduces stress hormones in the body. And it does have similar mood effects on the brain as an antidepressant medication. It's also believed to increase the volume of one of our brain structures called the hippocampus, which is the part of the brain involved in memory and learning, and can contribute to improved attention, energy, and promote better sleep. So very much a vital component to not only managing our mental health symptoms, but also in our everyday overall physical and mental well-being.
Dr. Overly, thank you very much. With our remaining time, would you be able to discuss any additional symptoms that here on the North Shore we should be aware of, and recommended treatments and resources?
Yeah, absolutely. Just generally speaking, I think whenever there are any sudden changes, say to appetite, activity, energy level, sleep patterns, if that starts to go on for a week or so, you definitely want to check in with a medical provider or a mental health provider. Similarly, any increase in severity or frequency of existing mental health symptoms should also be evaluated by your mental health or medical provider. And I really think it's important to also acknowledge that you are your own best expert. Nobody knows you like you know you. And for that reason, if something feels off or something feels different, it's important for you to advocate for that. Meet with somebody or seek out somebody that can help you identify what's going on. It's just important to be able to know and understand the way that our body works and know when something's off. Oftentimes, we get those signals before something can be detected by a medical or mental health professional.
Again, thank you very much. Can you possibly also touch on, during the pandemic, how mental health treatments are being administered and what some of these resources are?
Oh, absolutely. So the pandemic has definitely changed the manner in which we deliver mental health services. Although the use of telehealth has, I think, greatly increased accessibility, not only for individual therapy, also for group therapy and for support groups. Many formal support groups through agencies are now also being held online via Zoom or another telehealth platform that allows us to still stay connected with our supports, even though it is in a little bit different manner. Those of us who work in mental health are considered essential workers, so we are open for business. A lot of mental health clinics now have patient portals through which you can request an initial appointment, complete an intake paperwork from the comfort of your own home. It makes it far easier than it has been, perhaps, to schedule an appointment and get connected with a mental health professional.
Dr. Everly, what I've heard you say is that mental health is treatable and we should be on the lookout for the signs and that we should also take the opportunity to contact the mental health professionals. Services are available even during the pandemic, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
In summary, as we get ready to close here, could you provide just an overall summary in your own words of our discussion today and things that you want the listeners to remember?
Yes, definitely. So I think the main take-home point here is that there's many things in our life that we do not have control over, such as environmental stressors, COVID, and any genetic predispositions to the development of mental health conditions. But the manner in which we manage these things in our life can be made more effective by taking care of our physiological needs, those four basic needs that we talked about. And also, if we find ourselves having more anxiety or becoming easily frustrated just in day-to-day things, take a quick inventory of those physiological needs and the self-care practices, your eating habits, your sleep, your exercise routines. Are you maybe on the too little side of things or the too much side of things? Are you in the middle? And if you're not in the middle, consider how you can restore balance to that area. Maybe it's just packing lunches the night before that are healthier to bring to work, finding a buddy to go to the gym with, somebody that you can work out with and help you stay accountable. Little things like that can make big differences in our life because it's very easy to get caught up in the busyness of life. And we end up sometimes cutting corners without realizing it. If we make it a practice to monitor these areas, then we can stay on top of our mental health and just our overall well-being.
Thank you very much for that very concise summarization of our discussion today. A reminder to our listeners, we have been discussing about the state of mental health here in the North Shore of Minnesota. And our guest speaker today has been Dr. Kimberly Overly, PhD, and that Dr. Overly is with HP Psychological Associates in Duluth, Minnesota. Dr. Overly, thank you very much for being our guest today.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Hi, this is Chris Belfield, your host of Let's Talk Mental Health, letting you know that we really appreciate your feedback. You can send emails directly to the station at ktwh.org, or the program also has its own email, and that is lcmhtf@gmail.com. Again, lcmhtf@gmail.com, and that stands for Lake County Mental Health Task Force, and that is the group under which this broadcast is being brought to you by. Additionally, there is the North Shore Mental Health Group in Silver Bay. They have a fantastic website. You need to check this out because they have daily encouragements, lots of resources available. And they also sponsor a peer support group called GLAAD, and that's Group Living with Anxiety and Depression, and they are meeting online. For more information, again, go to that website. Speaking of websites, there is also the Northland Healthy Minds Organization out of Duluth. Again, a great website with lots of pertinent information and resource material for the local area. Speaking of the local area and our own Lake County, on the Lake County website, there is the Health and Human Services Support Guide, and in it, you will see a listing for mental health resources, 9 pages of local resources with lots of websites, phone numbers, and information that you can use. In the county, we also have the Human Development Center, again, accessible through Lake County website. And at our own Lakeview Hospital, they have mental health services being provided by a nurse practitioner. If you need it, look on their website. Finally, Lake County and Cook County have a cooperative agreement for an Arrowhead Emergency Services Chaplain Corps. These chaplains serve for our emergency responders, but also the community at large, and particularly at this time of the pandemic and some other challenging events, they've established a chaplain hotline. Hotline is for anyone to use, and it's available at 218-834-8504. Again, that's 218-834-8504. Until next time, for Let's Talk Mental Health, this is your host, Chris Belfield. Thanks for listening.